YouTube, like us and subscribe and make a comment, a good one. Don't make me take down your dumb comments. I will. But if you like it and subscribe and make comments, it just helps get the word out through the channel of YouTube. And then if you put it on your Facebook and promote it that way, it lets other people know. How many of y'all know that there are a lot of people who are gathered together in buildings all across the world, and they're not actually hearing the gospel? They're hearing religious things. Some of them aren't even hearing the word of God. Many, many, many stand behind a pulpit, and they give you a lot of stuff, but they don't give you the word. See, if I can't show it to you in the word, I don't even want you to listen. I'm going to show it to you in the word, and then you can decide what to do with it. But I love you enough, and I love God enough, that I'm not going to withhold the word of God. If you want to reject it, that's your problem. But I do not have the right to reject it for you. That's why I bring it. That's why anytime, whether it's myself or Brother Mark or Brother Gus, who I had hoped to have him up here this week, but when I went to him, he said he wouldn't be here. So we'll get Gus up here again real soon. But no matter who's standing here, they're going to bring the word. Because if they don't bring the word, they're not getting on this stage. Does that make sense? And then because we love you, we want you to hear the word, and then you can choose to receive it or not. We love you that much. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your presence right here in our midst, that your Holy Spirit is right here to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to teach us. You sent the Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us. So we want to follow you as you lead us this morning, Lord. As you lead us into your word, as you lead us into all truth, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit to touch our hearts, touch our lives, and that we will be a living sacrifice to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I'm going to continue. I'm going to do my best to continue pretty much where we left off last week. So if you missed last week, I encourage you to go back on. You can go to our website, extendedhandswilcox.org, or you can go to Extended Hands on YouTube, and you can catch last week's service. It's all there. You can listen to it as an audio or a video. Most of your phones will do both and all the above. You can watch us on your big screen. However it helps you, you can just listen while you're driving down the road. But I encourage you to go back and listen. We are looking at the fact that so many people think that God is like the God Father instead of God our Father. See, he is not the God Father. He is God our Father. He is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And he has loved us from the very beginning. And he has not rejected us. So many people think that once they do something wrong, once they've done something and they're ashamed of that, I mean, they run and think God does not love them anymore. We've been brought up with teachings that, well, once you sin, God kicks you out and he doesn't let you in. And no. God never quit loving mankind. He never quit loving man. And I showed you this in multiple areas last week, how God, so I want to start, our theme scripture is Romans chapter 12. 13 is the main scripture. I want to lead in with verse 12. Look at Romans chapter, I don't know what I said, but I meant 5, verse 12. I think I said it wrong. But Romans chapter 5, verse 12, look here, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Sin entered in because of Adam's disobedience. Adam and Eve was deceived. Adam followed the deception, and sin entered into the world. And death through sin. You want to know why there's people dying all around you? You want to know why everything is a mess all around you? It's right there. Death entered in. There was no death before the sin. Everything was created to live forever. Everything, they were told to be fruitful and multiply. Adam's physical bodies would have never died had sin not entered in. If sin had not entered in, they would still be on the planet today in their original bodies. Okay? Now, look at the next part. And thus sin or death spread to all men. And this death is referencing and talking about the fact that we're separated from God. We're separated. We're the breath of God. We no longer, when you are born in sin, that's just it. You're born in sin. You will sin. That's why you have to get born again. You get born again to enter into the kingdom of God, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at verse 13, because this is where we launch from. For until the law, sin was in the world. Do you understand? That's real simple. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. And that's a King James word that simply means sin was in the world, and with sin was death, but it was not imputed. It was not charged to your account before the law was given. Now, because we don't know what imputed means, people get lost. I want us to get a revelation of the truth that goes on right here. When we get a revelation from God of the truth of what this verse says, that but sin is not imputed where there is no law. You say, well, what does that have to do with me? We know the law was given roughly 4,000 years ago. That's why we're looking back to how God walked with man before the law. Because as a believer, and if you stick with me long enough, I'm going to show you, when you're born again, listen, you're done with the law. Not that the law is holy. I know when I say that, people go, what? Don't melt down. Don't change the channel. I'll explain it, okay? The law was given for a reason. And when you let me show you why the law was given, you'll understand that once you've been born again, the only purpose of the law is why it was given. It was to show you that you need a Savior. That's why. The law was given so that we would know we were on our way to hell. We were not, no matter what we did, we were not going to heaven. We were not going to live with God for eternity. We were going to spend eternity away from God without being born again. And you say, well, how do you show me that in Genesis? Glad you asked. Glad you asked. First of all, I want you to look at John, 1 John 3. 1 John 3:8. Let's look at this together. We looked at this last week. I want to go over it again. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now look at this next part. For this purpose, the Son of God, that's Jesus, right? For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested. He's going to tell us why Jesus was manifested. Y'all know what manifested means. For this purpose, Jesus came into the world. He's going to tell us. For this very purpose, Jesus came into the world, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Now, how many of y'all like the sound of destroying the works of the devil? Okay, now think about that. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. I've got the biggest man in this room that liked that idea, okay? He was all over it. He's like, oh yeah, I like the idea of destroying the works of the devil. Well, I have some really good news for the rest of you. While he's the biggest guy in the room, I'm probably not. Okay? It's clear to say there are many that are taller, and that's it. Taller and bigger. I am the best looking guy in the room because I asked me. And I asked Heather, who's not here to dispute this. She's in the room with your children. But let me tell you something. Do you realize that the reason Jesus is to be manifested in your life is to destroy the works of the devil. See, if Jesus isn't manifested in your life, you're not getting to destroy the works of the devil. But Jesus lives in you if you're born again. So how do we get him manifested into your life? What does that look like? See, this is why, hold that thought, because we're going to connect all this in just a minute. All right? Let me look here. Go to Acts 10:38, another very important passage in our foundation here that we're laying. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. It's very important that we note that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went out doing what? Good, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was what? With him. So doesn't it sound exciting as a believer, as a child of God, I should be looking forward to doing good, and I should be enjoying healing all who were oppressed of the devil. This, I should get up every morning and go, guess what? I get to kick the devil in his rump. I get to cast out demons. I get to heal all who are oppressed of the devil. I get to do good. I don't want to wake up going, ugh, there's nothing good going on. No, I am the good going on. You are the good going on. All you got to do is let Jesus be manifested in your life. That's the difference. Because he says, this was God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't do any miracles until the Holy Spirit was poured out upon him. And he told the 12 disciples, I'm getting ahead of myself. Ugh. I'll have to circle back. Jesus told the 12 disciples to go, but he said, now wait here until the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. For when the Holy Spirit is poured out, you will receive power from on high. So they had to wait and get the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't have to wait now. He's been poured out. He was poured out 2,000 years ago. And you don't have to wait. All you got to do is receive, just like salvation. If you want to come forward and get saved, I'm not going to go, well, let's ask God if it's his will you get saved today. No, Jesus paid the price for your salvation 2,000 years ago. He paid the price for your healing 2,000 years ago. He paid the price for all sin. All sin. Listen, we're trying to understand. He's good. I love amens. I like it when somebody engages with me. Listen, God's desire is for us to know him, to walk with him, to follow him. But he doesn't drag any of us. He's right. He lives in us, and he wants us to know him. But so many of us have been taught wrong things about God and who he really is. About how he does anybody really understand that God is not dealing with anybody's sin right now? That's a bold statement. Let me say it again. God is not in heaven going, ah, Mike, you just lied. Can I go there? Just for clarity, I'm making it up. I'm using my brother as an illustration. I have no idea if he lied. And guess what? If he lied, here's the deal. If he, that Mike got scared too. He's like, who told him I lied? See, God's not dealing with Mike's lie over here, nor is he dealing with the one that didn't lie. Because God punished Jesus for both of them. God punished Jesus for your sin, for my sin. So God is not up in heaven going, all right, let's see here. Oh, that good-looking preacher down there, he does need healing in his body, but, you know, I told him to do this, I told him to do that. I told him to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and, yeah, we all know he didn't do that just perfect, so guess I'm not giving him healing today. No! No, that's not how God operates. He never has operated that way. Never. Even before Jesus. See, that's why Romans 5:13 needs to be revelation. That while sin and death was in the world, your sin was not imputed unto them before there was a law. When there was no law, sin was not imputed. But then when the law came to show us that we needed a Savior, to show us that we needed to be born again, we had to believe, we had to receive, we have to get born again. And now, listen, because God punished Jesus for all sin, for all time, one time. One time. One time. Do you realize that there are a lot of people who did not believe that, but their sins were still covered? See, that's where we get tilt in your brain. How can you say, filthy, rotten, stinking, no good sinner on the front row? Notice there's no front row up here. Well, there's the front row over here. All right. One, two row. Second row. This guy right here, filthy, rotten, stinking sinner, but he never gets saved. But guess what? God forgave him 2,000 years ago. God did his part. It's this individual who must believe and receive to be born again. Now, somebody needed a little bit more of that today. It was not in my notes, nor my intentions, but thank you, Father. Go with me to John chapter 14. We were here a couple of weeks ago. If you go back into our previous lessons, we deep dived into John 14. And I don't remember the name of the series or the title, but it's been about 3 or 4 weeks since we did them, so you can go back and look at them on our YouTube. Look at here, I need John 14, verse 19. John 14, 19. Because we looked a lot at John 14, but I just want to touch these two scriptures. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. This is Jesus talking. But you will see me. Now look at here, because I live, you will live also. Verse 20, at that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me. You see it? Then you in me and I in you. All right? He who has my commandments, now we're going to look at that because his commandment is different now. Okay, he tells us he has one commandment. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And it wraps up all the others, okay? So we didn't, okay, let's keep reading before I get on a tangent. Where did I leave off? He who keeps my, who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by the Father. Now notice this. God hasn't changed. He's loved us from the beginning. God has not changed. God has always loved us from the very beginning. God loves me. He will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is what we need. We need the Father, God the Father, to manifest himself to us, so that we will understand that Christ lives in us and he's being manifested in us and through us to destroy the works of the enemy. If any of you have neighbors who need Jesus, they're only going to see Jesus through you. And if you're acting like a knucklehead, they're going to think Jesus is a knucklehead. I made that so nice, right? Man, I covered everybody because you can all admit you've been a knucklehead. But why do you need to be a knucklehead? You don't have to be a knucklehead, all right? And that's what we want to learn, how to not be a knucklehead. Go with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to go over here in this one so I can stay on track here. Genesis chapter 4. Now this is the second sin that is given to us. Okay? Now something that dawned on me this morning. How many of y'all remember Thomas in the Bible? Everybody remember Thomas? Now, without making it real obvious, what do we usually call Thomas? Yeah, you call him Doubting Thomas. I quit calling him Doubting Thomas. You know why I quit calling him Doubting Thomas? Because he's not doubting anymore. He doubted once. Jesus loved him, corrected him. He is alive forevermore. He is alive. He is in the presence of God. And when I get up there, I don't want, hey, Doubting Thomas. Not a good idea. Because guess what? He's watching us. See, his was written down so we could all learn. He's watching it in color. Now, the good news is he doesn't care. So why do we care? Why do we want to call him Doubting Thomas? He's just Thomas, our big brother in the faith. So let's look at Cain and Abel. Because this is the second sin that is listed in the Word of God. And it's important that we see how God deals with sin. Because remember, there's no law. Thou shalt not has not been brought to the table. Thou shalt not does not exist. And this is why if God wanted the law to save us, he would have given the law before he ever kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. It was not God's desire to give us the law. Keeping the law will not make you righteous. And we've got to figure this out. Because I can make you stop doing stupid, but it will not make you unstupid. Dogs bark, cows moo, sinners sin. And until you're born again, you will do stupid. But once you're born again, you don't have to sin. You don't have to. And I know nobody else has told you that. Keep coming back. I'll explain it. All right? Let's look here. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 4, let's jump in at verse 6. Verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? So Cain is angry. Wonder why he's angry. Let's back up to verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass. It's interesting it says in the process of time. Remember, Cain was born like you and I, little, tiny cries. Okay, he grew up. He's a grown man, and there is still no thou shalt not, and there is no, to our knowledge, there is no thou shalt. There is no thou shalt. God has not said, you better do this. What does he tell him? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all that's on the earth. That's what he told. That was the thou shall, is to rule over the earth. Take care of it. Fill it. Cultivate it. Help it to grow. Be over the whole earth. That's the commandment that's given. And that's the covenant that Adam and Eve and all of them are in at this time. Does that make sense? All right. So now, thank you for that. And the process of time it came, that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Now, so Cain brought an offering of some fruit. Notice what it just says. That's what it says. Don't read more. Don't read less. Just read what it says. All right? Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock. So we have a little different description of Cain's offering. It's the firstborn of the flock of their fat. And the Lord accepted Abel and his offering. Now look at this, verse 5. But the Lord did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. We have here the first account or the second account of disobedience. That's what it is. It's disobedience. But remember what Romans 5:13 says. Where there is no law, sin is not imputed unto them. So there was no law, But we see disobedience. So somewhere in the process of time, they knew what to bring as an offering. Because God would not tell them different if he had not told them. He's not going to hold them to something he didn't tell them. But if he's told them this is what they want, this is what you need to do, and they don't do it, therefore there is consequences. That's called sin. And whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Because Galatians 6 had not been written yet, but truth is truth. It was already there in the beginning, all right? So, and the Lord accepted Cain. Okay, verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, God goes and talks to Cain. Cain was not running away. Cain was disobedient. And God showed up and said, yo, brother, come here. Come here. Simply says, why are you angry? Now, this is foreign to a lot of us because so many of us, we've never had this conversation when we've been disobedient. Even with our earthly fathers. Mom, dad come in, start swinging the belt. If you were brought up in a good home, they just came in, start lighting you up. I said a good home. But maybe they needed a little adjustment. Maybe they needed to know. I'm guilty, okay? I've lit up all mine. It's all good. They're still all right. Sometimes they got a twitch, but it is all right. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, here it is, sin. Sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. He now has faith to rule over sin. Because God has said, sin is at the door. Not my anger. He didn't say, if you don't do what's right, I'm about to bust you in the chops. That's not what he said. He said, if you'll do good, if you'll do what we've already talked about, all is well. He gave him a perfect opportunity to repent. He gave him a perfect opportunity to say, oh, sorry, Lord, let me go and get the right offering. Did you guys not see that? Okay. So he said, if you do well, but if you don't, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, and you should rule over it. Verse 8, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Notice Cain went and talked to his brother. It doesn't say Cain said, you're right, Lord, forgive me. He didn't repent. But God didn't even bust his chops for that. You got it's not landed yet. All right. I can see we've all been brought up in so much law, it's ridiculous. Hallelujah. Well, we're here to learn the grace of God. Look at verse 10. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out for me, from the ground. So now look, he does tell him, now you are cursed from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's love from your hand, brother's blood. When you till the ground, now listen, he's telling Cain, when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, or vagabond, I don't know how to say that, you shall be on the earth. Now look at this next part. And Cain said to the Lord. So here's what Cain did say. Now he's talking to the Lord. My punishment is greater than I can bear. I've been there. I'm sure I told my dad more than once, I can't handle 10 whoopings. 10 whoopings is more than I can bear. It's probably why, never mind. I'll leave that alone. That's grace right there. All right. Read on. Surely. Now notice what Cain is saying, not what God is saying. There's a difference. Cain is saying, your punishment is more than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be, pardon me, pardon me. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Now this is all Cain. God did not say any of this. Look at the next part, verse 15. And the Lord said to him, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. God just protected the first murderer in the Bible from what we know that 2,000 years later, if you murder, you die. But that's 2,000 years of time. I need you to get this picture in your mind. 2,000 years. If God wanted the law to straighten you out, he would have said it right here. This would have been another opportunity for him to say, all right, that's it. You guys done did it. Going forward, this is the rules. You want to come talk to me? You better do this. What's that first commandment? Love the Lord God with all your heart. What's the second commandment? Love your neighbors. What's the third commandment? Thou shalt not kill. What's the fourth commandment? See, this is good. I'm encouraged. Most of you don't even know what these commandments are. That's actually very encouraging. Because keeping the commandments will not make you holy. You must be born again. If keeping the commandments would make you holy and righteous, God would have given them right there. And if you'll stick with me, I'm going to show you that it wasn't his idea. It wasn't his first heart, his first desire. He wanted to deal with man on an individual basis with mercy, with grace, with full open love. He just protected the first murderer. But here's what happens. See, if you scroll down or turn the page in some of those Bibles, in mine you scroll down. If you scroll down to verse 19, well, verse 16 says, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So we see in verse 16 that Cain leaves the presence of God. God didn't kick him out. He left. People leave the presence of God because they don't understand God. They think they don't know God. They don't know him. They may be born again, but they don't know him. Just like that little baby back there, that little baby has no idea who mommy and daddy are right now. They have no idea. But mommy and daddy ain't going to hold that against them. Mommy and daddy are going to do everything they can to love that baby, cherish that baby, raise that baby, encourage that baby, supply everything that baby. And that baby is going to make a few mistakes. He's going to mess a few things up. He's going to wake up in the middle of the night. He's going to cry. He's going to do all kinds of crazy things. And I'm talking about just in the next couple of minutes. Okay? But mom and dad are going to love that baby, even though that baby doesn't even know them yet. But as that baby grows, as that great baby abides, as that baby's heart is open, he will get to know who mom and dad is. As we grow, as we put our face in the Word of God, as we seek him, we find him, and we get to know who God is. That's why we came here this morning, so that we can know God, so that we can get revelation of his Word, right? And I hope you're learning something. All right, look at verse 19. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. I need to skip all that. He did some dumb stuff. And he got attacked, and he murdered a guy. All right? Lamech murdered somebody. Second murder. Pretty quick here. Okay? I don't know how far down the road, but we have another murder going on. And it's from a relative of Cain. All right? All right. Now look at verse 23. Then Lamech said to his wives. It's important that you know that Lamech is talking, not God. This is Lamech talking. Whatever that guy's name is and whatever that person is, hear my voice. I guess they're his wives. Wives of Lamech. Yeah, there it is. Listen to my speech. For I have killed a man. So he's kind of repenting. Look at it. For I have killed a man for wounding me. It sounds like self-defense, right? So here we are, a little bit down the road. Lamech comes in. He tells his wives, I've killed a man because he wounded me. I've killed a man because of self-defense. Even a young man for hurting me. Now look at what he says. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Now that's King James. Nobody understands what he says. Let me help you. Trying to think of a real time. Oh, no, let's just use the one that's on the table. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Cain leaves. He's in the land of Nod. He has kids who have kids who have kids. I don't remember how many generations it is later, Lamech. You have a community. Lamech has two wives. Can't speak to it. Stupid. Leave it alone, Paul. Lamech. Somebody attacks Lamech. Lamech kills the man in self-defense. Lamech goes to his wives and repents. You guys see a problem yet? He goes to his wives and repents. And he compares his sin to Cain's sin. Cain killed a man, and God protected him. So I killed a man in self-defense. So God's going to protect me 77 times. He's going to protect me even more than he protected Cain. But that's what Lamech said. It's not in the Bible. That's not what God had said. Because Romans 5:13 says, where there is no law, sin is not imputed to them. And from everything I've read up to now, there is thou shalt not kill yet. But it didn't make killing right. See, had Lamech went to God and said, oh God, I killed a man. I couldn't help it. I had to. I defended myself. I can't speak to what God would have said because it's not in there, except for what Romans 5:13 says. Where there is no law, sin is not imputed unto them. Do you realize that? Abraham, y'all know Abraham lived before the law? Do you know that Abraham did a few doozies? Okay? Abraham did some really good mess ups. And notice that God didn't take him out and beat him. Why? Because God loves us. And his desire is to lead and guide us. His desire is to walk with us. Now, I know, so what then? Shall we continue to sin? I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8. How long do you want to be here for this? See, we got to figure out that God loves us. He punished Jesus for all of our sin. So your sin has been punished by God onto Jesus, all of our sin. God is not holding your sin against you, but your sin has consequences. What did it say to Cain? What did God say to Cain? If you don't do what's right, sin is at the door, and its desire is to kill you. Its desire is to have you. So when we sin, we open up our lives, and the enemy, whose his job is to do one thing, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. If he's around, if he's in the room, if his demons are here, if his sidekicks, his human vessels are here, their job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we sin, it opens that door up. That's why we live holy. That's why when sin comes, we go, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. That's why we, when we have the opportunity, we'll keep it simple. If I have the opportunity to lie to my brother or tell the truth, that's why I even ask him most of the time, well, do you want me to lie or you want the truth? Because the lie is about to hurt us both. You're going to be mad because I'm going to tell you the truth. But I don't want to lie, because if I lie, it opens up my life for the devil to deceive me. If I lie. If I lie, the enemy has an open door to deceive me. He doesn't get to control me. He can't make me do anything. But if I lie, he will come and eat my lunch and pop the bag. He will come after me. He will bring me other opportunities to lie. And then if I lie again, and then I lie again, and then I can't even remember what the truth is. But if I'll tell the truth, if I'll tell the truth, no matter how hard that hurts, it will be well with me. Does that make sense? So we've got to begin to understand that we're made righteous and truly holy, not by our works of righteousness, okay, but when we're born again. When you're born again, you are made righteous. The Spirit of God, you're born again. Your spirit is made new, and it's righteous and truly holy. And this is why your spirit won't ever sin. It's the rest of you that sins. It's your mind, your will, your emotions, your flesh. We do the dumb. But that's when we go, oh, Father, forgive me. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, I was wrong. I shouldn't have lied to Mike. I haven't. Since I was there, But but that's why we repent. But that's also why, this is why we want to live righteous. We want to live holy. We want to seek God. See, go back to, okay, let me show you something here. Go back over here. Lamech had said those things. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. We read this in our opening before we worshiped. And I had him do this for a purpose. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead." Who's he talking to? He's talking to us. We can choose, do we want to do good or do we want to do evil? God said, "I set before you life or death." Choose life. It's our choice. The devil can't make us choose death. But guess what? The moment we start choosing death, it just gets brighter and brighter. It gets easier and easier. Because why? Our hearts become dull. Our hearts become, we're afraid. Did you notice, well, the first thing, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did they do? They ran. Why did they run? They were afraid. They were afraid. What did they have to be afraid of? They were afraid because they were like, oh, we're naked. Do you realize they had been naked the whole time? They were naked the whole time. We don't even know how long they had been naked. So since they were born, since they were created, God created them naked. But they weren't ashamed. It wasn't a sin to be naked. It wasn't bad. They were told, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. But when they disobeyed God, they ran from the presence of God. They hid themselves. That's why when God shows up, he goes, hey, Adam, where are you? It wasn't that God lost them. Adam didn't know where he was. Adam had no idea where he was. He was running from God. Well, we were afraid. Okay, come over here. Why? He had a chance to repent right there. Why did you do that? What do? That woman. We blame somebody else. See, our whole culture, we've been trained to blame somebody else. It was my upbringing. It was my dad. It was my mom. It was the school. It was the government. It's always somebody else's problem. No, you were born in sin. And then when you're born again, you don't have to sin. But if you don't get to know God, you don't see God, you don't find him, you won't know what sin is. Because you'll just be all wrapped up in it. And you'll just keep doing it. And you'll be afraid to go to God. I'm not the only one that was taught that once you sin, God doesn't want to talk to you. He can't be around you because you're not holy. Well, guess what? The moment I'm made born again, I am made righteous and truly holy. And God is never going to reject me, no matter what I do. I can reject him, but he doesn't reject me. He paid the price for all my sin. And that's what we have to get through our thick skulls. God is not in heaven going, ah, I saw that. Make note of that. Yep, okay. Let me plan a little something. Carol, yep. Carol was told to be there. Carol, no. No, God's not doing that. God punished Jesus for all that. But if we're not born again, we don't know that. See, God paid the price for all the unbelievers. Their sins covered too. When we really get that, when we really understand that, we'll be able to love them. Doesn't mean we entertain their sin. Doesn't mean enable their sin. But we can love them because we know, hey, they don't know yet. Means we get to tell them. We don't have to tell them stop sinning. We need to tell them come to Jesus because God loves you. Because they can stop sinning. They can stop sinning, but that doesn't make them righteous. See, that's what Lamech did. Lamech tried to make his own righteousness. Lamech tried to say, well, my sin wasn't as bad as their sin. This is why it took 2,000 years. 2,000 years before the law was given. But notice about 1,500 years in, the earth is so messed up, God repents. God's like, yeah. These people have rejected me to no end. And there's only one man who really loves me on that planet. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man. His wife. His kids, my understanding, his kids weren't even born yet. But God said, if I don't intervene right here, there won't be a virgin left. There had to be a virgin. I'll explain that some more later. Because God wanted to get Jesus to the earth so that all of our sin, all of our iniquities could be taken care of so that we could be born again and born into the kingdom of God and be out of the kingdom of darkness and live a life that when we get up, Jesus is manifested in us. Just like Acts 10:38, we could be anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power to destroy the works of the devil. And this isn't about preaching up here. This isn't about standing on the corner preaching. This is about every day seeking God, knowing him, and letting him lead our lives, letting him direct. See, God desires it no matter what you... The gift and calling that God has on your life, he put there. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. This isn't you can be all you can be. This isn't you can do anything in life. No, God has a plan for you. But if you don't align yourself with that plan, you won't ever get there. You'll just wander in the desert like we're learning in faith school. It was not God's will for them to wander 40 years in the desert. But 10 times they said, we're all going to die out here. We're all going to die out here. We're all going to die out here. 10 times. And God's like, okay, if you say so. That's your heart. That's your desire. You can die out there. You've rejected me 10 times. Now, is that the magic number? No. That's not the magic number. God knew their heart. God's always looking at the heart. I got to land. I want to pray for this baby and for his parents. Did you learn anything? Amen. Thank you. I'm going to dismiss the online. I want to thank you for tuning in. I pray that you will go back and listen. Look over these scriptures. Go back and let the Holy Spirit reveal them to you. Ask God for revelation. Ask him to make you see them. Meditate on these scriptures that I've given you. We want to see God and how he deals with man right now. And the best way is to go back in that time frame and see how he dealt with man before the law. Because that was a time of grace. I know people don't get that, but it was a time of grace. We're in the age of grace. That was a time of grace. And we need to figure this out. All right. Father, I love you and I praise you. I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.